Welcome to the Midnight Podcast. I'm Stories After Midnight, and today we will be reading a viewer-submitted story called The Uncanny Package. Let's get started. Anthony and Sarah Downs were an unsuspecting couple who enjoyed the normalcy of their Seattle suburb. They were reserved and not ones to dabble in unusual affairs. They lived peacefully in Madrona and expected things to remain that way. The two of them were enjoying their morning, grateful for a lovely July. Anthony, in particular, enjoyed keeping up with the latest developments of 1990. It was then that they both heard a loud knock at the door, disrupting their quiet time. Perturbed by this sudden sound, Anthony put down his paper and rose from the table. He was expecting the neighbor as he reached the door. To his surprise, he saw no one there but a large box wrapped in brown paper. This package dumbfounded Anthony. It had no postage information, writing, or any sign of origin. The only clue was a sealed blank white envelope attached to the top of the box via a string. He gently slid the envelope from under the string and opened it. Inside were three documents: a picture of a burned-out bonfire in some Washingtonian woods, a map with an X on it leading to the state's coast, and an anonymous note that read, "You've been chosen. Enjoy. Return when necessary." Anthony stood there perplexed. These documents made no sense to him. He was confident that he and his wife had ordered nothing, so what was in that box, and why were they chosen? Anthony attempted to move the box into the house, but it proved too heavy for one person. "Honey, is everything all right?" "There's some box on the doorstep." "Well, I didn't order anything." "I know you didn't, Sarah." Anthony knew he would make a mess on the porch. He opted for a dolly from the garage and used it to move the package to the living room. His wife watched from the kitchen doorway. "Who's it from?" "It doesn't say, hon, but clearly somebody wants us to have whatever's inside." "Well, let's open it then." Anthony cut and stripped away the brown paper from the box with scissors. The naked box was just as drab as the wrapping. He punctured through the tape and unsealed the top of the box. Sarah stood by his shoulder, her forehead furrowed with curiosity. Anthony flew open the flaps, and the two looked inside. "Oh my God." Anthony stepped back in shock as Sarah shrieked in horror. Shaken but still intrigued, the two peered into the box to verify what they had seen. It was a statue, one that resembled a grotesque monster. It was challenging to describe, given the alien nature of its image. It vaguely resembled an amphibian, but not one found in this world. "What the hell is it?" "Probably some dude's idea of a sick joke." "Sick indeed, Anthony." They turned to each other and exchanged pondering looks. "What should we do with it, Sarah?" "Throw it away, damn it. I'm not going to have this hideous thing in my house." "That's what I'm thinking, but I kind of want to know who sent it." Anthony remembered the envelope he had left on the coffee table. He picked up the postal sleeve and handed it to Sarah, which she took curiously. She opened it and rummaged through the documents, but received no satisfaction. As a result, the content only annoyed her.
"These don't tell us anything."
"Well, the note says to return when necessary."
"To where? Out in the middle of nowhere? Let's take it to the curb and leave it for the garbage truck."
Anthony attempted to move it outside, but a piercing headache stopped him. The pain was so intense that Anthony lurched forward, barely catching himself from falling.
"Anthony, what's wrong?"
"Ah, Sarah, my head hurts."
Anthony collapsed on the couch, trying to mitigate the headache.
"Well, I'll go get you some aspirin and water, but I want that thing out of here today."
Anthony stared at the box while he rested. He had felt fine seconds prior. Did the statue not want to be thrown away? Anthony got up in the afternoon refreshed and figured he would try moving the box to the garage. It surprised him how his head didn't hurt at this attempt. But later on, the couple discussed plans to dispose of the statue while eating their dinner.
"You seriously want to drive out to the coast, Anthony?"
"That's what the note said, Sarah."
"Implied, you mean. I still can't see why we just can't throw it out. Do you really believe it gave you that migraine?"
"Well, if you must know, dear, I felt perfectly fine before trying to move it out. Then, boom, that migraine came out of nowhere like a whirlwind." His wife just looked at him with skepticism and disbelief.
"If that's what you believe, hon, but since when do you believe in superstition? Your headache was just a coincidence, plain and simple." but I'll be glad to be rid of that statue, that's for sure. That night, the couple did not rest easy. They both had nightmares composed of dreadful imagery. Waves hit jagged rocks below cliffs, a bonfire roaring with life and the ocean turning blood red. The statue was situated before the bonfire. Voices spoke in the most ungodly of languages, a language that froze the blood just by its utterance. Early that following day, the couple got up from an uncomfortable sleep. They could not believe that they shared the same nightmare. Could the statue have powers of its own? They needed to get rid of the figure fast. The two usually enjoyed road trips, but this one felt more necessary than fun. Parked in front of the garage was their blue 1980s Volvo station wagon. Sarah opened the trunk, and together they lifted the box and slid it inside. They drove out of their garage, through the streets of Seattle, and before they knew it, they were out onto the open road. Miles upon miles, they saw a lot of country scenery as time ticked away. They couldn't wait to be rid of the statue. They finally arrived at the designated area after hours of driving. The location was chillingly vacant, with no signs of life. They could only hear the ocean's waves crashing not too far off. The two examined their surroundings, mainly seeing trees, rocks, dirt, and not much else. Most notable was an ash-filled pit, one that people had used for bonfires, just like the raging one in their dreams. The thought of this coincidence made them shudder, but then Anthony recalled the photo. He took it out and matched the scenery in the picture to their current location. "Honey, I think we're in the right place." "Great. Where should we dump this thing?" "Why don't we leave it over by that fire pit?" Anthony and Sarah opened the trunk and unloaded the box. The two pushed it through the dirt over towards the fire pit. "Well, that should do it, Sarah." "I'll say. So long, ugly." Sarah kicked the box. No one was happier to get rid of the statue than Sarah. She had despised it from the moment she laid eyes on it. And just as they turned around, ready to drive back to Seattle, they saw three robed strangers wearing concealing cowls standing next to the driver's side of the car. Surprise took Anthony and Sarah as the three stared at them. Anthony then spoke. Hi. This is your statue, right? Well, we were just returning it, you know, just like the note said we could." The strangers did not reply, but only continued to stare. "You delivered us for it, right? Us being chosen and all. Well, we weren't comfortable with it, so we brought it back. Thank you anyway." The strangers still did not respond. Sarah turned back to the package and yelped. Anthony turned to see five more identical dressed strangers standing alongside the box. Anthony couldn't understand the quietness of these people. They made no noise when they appeared in the clearing, almost as if they were ninjas. Anthony gulped while Sarah suppressed feelings of anxiety. They heard soft chants as they saw two dozen more of these strangers come out from all sides. The situation was quickly going from awkward to outright terrifying. Anthony was losing his cool fast. "Okay, well, I mean, you're welcome. If you want to enjoy your little dance ritual, orgy, whatever you want to call it, we'll be on our way. Just please step away from my car." It was the penultimate cultist from behind the car that spoke. "You have been chosen. You have acted well. The lost one is most pleased." The couple jumped at the sound of knives rapidly cutting away at cardboard. Several cultists dismantled the package until they revealed the statue in all of its morbid glory. "Now is the time to deliver oblation to our master." Anthony was completely dumbstruck by this statement. "Oh, what?" The surrounding cultists were merely feet away from the couple. Anthony and Sarah stood frozen, unable to move or speak, the hourglass draining fast. More and more cultists pulled out knives. It was then that Anthony came back to his senses. "Get the hell away from us! Get away!" Fight or flight kicked in as Anthony grabbed his wife by the hand and attempted to escape. He punched one cultist while shoulder thrusting another. "Get the hell away from us!" Anthony's escape was not without penalty, as he received a brutal blow on his left shoulder. Blood seeped through his shirt. He bit his teeth as he fought against the pain. "Anthony!" That was the last thing Sarah screamed, as one cultist stabbed her between her stomach Two more followed with stabs into her back.
Sarah!
Anthony ran away as fast as possible, but not without a limp. He looked back to see half the cultists pursuing him while the rest sacrificed Sarah. He ran until he came across a cliff that had led to the ocean, just like his dream foretold. Below were jagged rocks and crashing waves. The cultists caught up to Anthony and surrounded him. He had nowhere left to run.
Fool, you have been chosen. The master shall receive oblation. You shall fulfill your destiny.
Anthony felt an overwhelming, mindless panic. He was up against a dozen armed assailants and knew that his situation was hopeless. He took in a big inhale and sighed, defeated. He spun around and leapt over the cliff, throwing himself into the waters below. The water turned blood red as his lifeless body bobbed against the rocks, slowly carried away by the tide. The cultists gathered in unison, chanting praises to Anthony's sacrifice.
Mighty Lost One, your latest sacrifice has given himself over to you. May you bask in his blood and contentment.
The cultists celebrated their sacrifices for the rest of the day and into the night. They had picked their lambs wisely by placing that package on the Downs' doorstep. All would be well until their next oblation. That's it. Thank you for listening to this story. I really hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, consider leaving a like if you're on YouTube or if you're on Spotify or elsewhere. Leave a comment, whatever the options are for you there. I really appreciate you stopping by. And thank you to Jack Benson for sending this in. If you'd like to send in your story, go to storiesaftermidnight.com where you'll see a link in the header to a form where you can submit your story to be read on the channel. And a huge shout out to my patrons for financially supporting Stories After Midnight and the Midnight Podcast. I really appreciate your generosity. There's also links on storiesaftermidnight.com if you'd like to get involved in one way or another. And lastly, if you'd like to, we have a Discord you can come join and hang out with us in. It's very low key. Not a lot going on, so we'd be happy to have you and to just come hang out. So without further ado, we'll see you in the next episode.